You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. And on the phone with me is Margaret Longo. She is an associate professor of English at Miami University, where she teaches creative writing and contemporary fiction. She's also the author of If the Heart is Lean, and some of her work has appeared in the Cincinnati Review, a Pushcart Prize anthology, and other publications. She has a new book out. It's a collection of short stories called History of Art. Margaret Longo, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I have to say, Margaret, this is the first collection of short stories I've interviewed for the Book Club at 91.7, and I'm looking for some guidance from you as to what should I be asking about a short story collection like this, Margaret?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm honored to be your first short story collection on the show. Well, when I have a chance to talk in front of a classroom with students about short story collections, I like to get them thinking about the order of the stories and if there are any themes that allow the stories to cohere and give the feel of, the fullness of a novel, even though there aren't characters that continue throughout all of the stories. So I generally start there with recurring themes and story order.
Well, right in the title, it says History of Art, and art does play a role in each of these stories. And there's also, well, from the very first story, there's also a little war mixed in. And I was curious as I was reading this, Margaret, did you intend it as a collection, or was this just a series of stories you wrote that seemed to have these themes in it?
When I was putting together my first collection, I noticed that there was a little subset of stories that were all about the arts, not just visual arts, but performing arts. My undergraduate degree is in drama, and I worked in theater for a while. My first job was doing props for an opera company, and I've always had a strong interest in music and art and theater. So I noticed that I was writing a lot of stories about the arts. So I thought, I'm going to put these aside and save them for a themed collection later. So I finished the first book and then turned my attention to those stories, and I just kind of kept going. And a couple of years into that, in 2007, I was teaching for Miami in the Literary London program, and there were protests going on about the Iraq War. And that just sort of stayed with me. And I read an article about the war artist, Steve McQueen, who had been sent to Iraq for 6 days. And he was to create a piece of art that somehow conveyed to people what was going on over there. He was embedded only for 6 days. And when he came back, he was really frustrated to find that he really couldn't do much. His movements had been hindered. He hadn't been able to see much. And he ended up creating a series of postage stamps of British soldiers who'd been killed in action. So that got me thinking, what if artists were totally hindered and kept from seeing anything? They couldn't respond to what was going on in the world. So that was where that first story, the war artist, came from, and it directly from my experiences of being in London and seeing protests and reading The Guardian and this article about Steve McQueen.
I'm speaking with Margaret Longo. She is the author of the new short story collection, History of Art Stories, published by LSU Press. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And as you were putting together this collection, you mentioned you talk about the order of stories. How much do you play with how the stories are arranged in the collection when you're putting together something like History of Art?
Oh, it's a long process. And unfortunately, I'm a really physical person. I like to have the physical stories printed out. So I end up sitting on the floor in my study with all of the stories laid out around me and, kind of rereading first pages and shuffling things around and trying to put stories near each other that somehow resonate and kind of amplify each other. So let's see, what would be a good example of that? So there are a bunch of father stories at the end of the collection, mm-hmm. repatriation, Chinese Opera and Girls Come Calling. All of those are really about fathers and relationships to daughters or daughter figures. And I think I went from bad father to kind of bad father to good father figure. So there's maybe a little bit of redemption in the order of those stories. And I think that was unintentional. I put them together on purpose, but I think it's unintentional that I left the reader with a little bit more of a hopeful ending there for father-daughter relationships.
I'm curious, Margaret, about what attracts you to short stories. What is it? You obviously, as I've been, you know, reading the history of art and each of these stories, you obviously love the form because you are excellent at conveying so much in a tiny space. But what draws you to short stories?
Well, thank you. I do love the short form, and early on, I really enjoyed reading poetry and writing poetry as well as fiction. And I always found something very compelling in, you know, reading something very short that I found moving or that changed my perception. And I was always really impressed with writers who could do that through poetry or short fiction. Just, you know, very few words and big impact. So I like that magic. And that's what really attracted me to the form, big impact with the fewest number of words possible. So that was something, that's something that I'm always working toward. And I do love the story. A few times I've tried to write longer work, you know, in the novel range. Even when I'm in the middle of it, I just think, why am I doing this? You know, it just runs counter to my basic instincts. To keep it very short, and that's the game that I like, to see what kind of impact I can make in that very short form.
And you use different forms, too, because I want to talk about Word Problem. Word Problem, I think, mm-hmm. is the first short story that I've ever read that I kept going back to reference. Okay, it is much like a word problem, a mathematical word problem, Margaret, where, you know, I was going, okay, here are the questions. Okay, let me see who that was. But it starts out, the word problem starts out, 10 students attend the conservatory at a nationally acclaimed school of music. And then you go through these students, A through I. Then you present a set of problems, and then you present the answer key. I love this, and as I said, I was bouncing back and forth between the pages to go, what did H do again, or who was C? Where did you come up with this word problem form here?
Well, it's two impulses. The first was I really like a challenge, and so I'm always looking for a new form for the short story to take, you know, and by new, I have to say, you know, one that I haven't tried yet. And it was a little bit perverse, I guess, because I've never been very good at math. And I thought, well, this is a way to just kind of own that or conquer it somehow. But I held on to the idea for years, and I just didn't have the right content for it. I just couldn't match it up with the subject matter. And so I have the Cincinnati Fringe Festival to thank for supplying that content. My husband and I, yeah, we went a few years ago. I don't remember exactly the year, but we heard a group of musicians do John Cage's Music for Radio, and or Music for Radio, I think that's what it is.
Yes.
It was thrilling. I'd heard John Cage before, but recorded. I'd never heard his music performed live. And I thought it was thrilling. And my memory of it is that there were stringed instruments on stage and that I thought, these must be classically trained musicians. What do they think about what they're doing? Some of them looked totally delighted by it. And I looked around at the audience members and I thought, I wonder what they think about this. Some people looked kind of baffled, but most people were pretty attentive. And that was really the start of it. That's what gave me the content for Word Problem, just wondering about musicians and those musicians in particular and the journey that they take from being serious practitioners with classical training and just making their way out in the world. And I think the story really could apply to any group of artists or any type of artist. And that long journey and finding a way to live in the world with this passion, something that takes so much dedication and time and maybe even prevents you from enjoying other parts of life that you would take part in, but don't because you're so devoted to this thing. But anyway, it's a long journey for any artist, and there are always, you know, things that you gain from taking that journey and things that you lose or you have to leave behind, too. That's the story I'm always interested in, you know, the artist's journey, and not considering the artist as somebody who's sort of this separate kind of creature, but just anybody who's struggling to pursue a passion.
Margaret Luongo talking about her story, Word Problem. That is part of the collection History of Art Stories, published by LSU Press. Margaret will be at Joseph Beth Booksellers on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, talking about the book and signing. You can learn more about that at our website, wvxu.org. And some of the problems that were involved in Word Problem, the questions are 20 years after they earn their degrees, how many students make a living at making music? Number two, how many graduates of the nationally acclaimed School of Music become nationally acclaimed themselves? And there are a series of 19 questions. And I had to smile a little bit knowing about your location here, and we have some very well-known music schools. Were any of those the nationally acclaimed schools you were thinking of while you were writing Word Problem? Or are you at liberty to say?
I honestly had no ideas about, you know, I didn't have any fixed ideas about what the school was. And I thought that question might come up, but I really wasn't thinking about any particular school. I've known musicians who've gone to a number of different schools. And so I don't have any, you know, axe to grind myself. So, yeah, I didn't have any particular school in mind.
I have to say, when I got to the end of the book and, you know, started the what I thought was the acknowledgments section, it began with a note on the type. And then I noticed, well, I turned the page and there's another note on the type and then another note on the type. And then there's like, I don't know. This is actually a series of small vignettes about a note on the type. Why did you take that tact with these stories? Because, you know, you really kind of fooled me there for a minute, Margaret, because I thought the first one was real. And I was like, that doesn't look like the type. How are you using so many types in this book?
I'm so glad that was a little surprise. That came about really kind of at the 11th hour. A note on the type was always meant to be the last story in the book. And when I was looking at the galleys, I noticed that the designer hadn't put page numbers on the story, which was exactly right. We hadn't discussed it, but she made a great decision. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. What if we just took it out of the table of contents and let it be a little surprise at the end of the book? So that really was an 11th hour decision. And I hope it is a little surprise for people.
Well, I guess not a surprise now that I've talked about it. Sorry about
right.
that.
That's okay.
But well, after putting together this collection, I want to ask, a double-edged question, both what you got out of putting this collection together and what you hope readers will get out of the history of art.
Well, one of the things that struck me was that that humans just have this propensity to be so destructive, but also so creative. We make so many things that are beautiful, and we also have this capacity to be terribly destructive and hateful, and that goes way, way back. So I guess that was really the thing that kind of struck me, just that cyclical nature of conflict, but also hope. So there's that, I guess. And just kind of as a side note, two stories came from the Cincinnati Art Museum, Repatriation and History of Art. There are objects in both of those stories that are in the permanent collection of the Cincinnati Art Museum. But as far as what readers take away, I don't know. The book, I think, I hope, can be enjoyed on many different levels. You know, if you just like a good story, I hope that you can enjoy the book that way. But for me, some of the stories have allowed me to really think through some of my conflicting feelings about war. Somebody asked me if it's an anti-war book, and I said, "Oh, I don't know," because I felt ambivalent in a way. Of course, I don't like war, and I don't like what happens when we get involved in conflict. you know, but on the other hand, can I really say I'm a pacifist? You know, if there are people in other parts of the world who are suffering, you know, are we to sit by and let that happen? So I had a lot of really conflicting feelings about war, and I needed to explore that, and I do that through writing stories. So that's what it was for me.
Well, it certainly did spark a lot of thought as I was reading the stories and history of art. I appreciate that little nudge to make me consider the bigger picture. Greatly appreciated, Margaret.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here on the Book Club at 91.7.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Margaret Luongo, her collection of short stories, History of Art, is available now. It's published by LSU Press. You can learn more about the book at our website, wvxu.org. Margaret will be discussing and signing History of Art stories this Tuesday at Joseph F. Booksellers at 7 o'clock. Details on that event at our website as well. This is the Book Club at 91.7.